Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central. It's Tuesday night and time for another edition of the Jack Del Rio Show here across the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. I'm Brian Sexton, and as you know, in the month of August, hit and miss when the coach walks in and spends some time with us. Meetings a short week. Jaguars leave for Philadelphia tomorrow for the Thursday Night Circus against the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, I say circus because that is the first game in which the NFL will allow Mike Vick to play for the Eagles, his brand new team. And was online, like many of you, go to profootballtalk.com and saw that his defined role is not necessarily that of quarterback, based on what Andy Reid said today at his news conference up in Philadelphia, talking about McNabb playing a short while, Kevin Cobb playing, but Vic not playing quarterback in the fourth quarter for sure. So be interesting to see exactly how they use him. And I think you just have to look at it as here's a guy who was never a pocket passer. I think his career quarterback rating was in the mid to low 50s, who had never been a pocket passer, certainly not the type of precision passer that Andy Reid has in Donovan McNabb. This guy's coming in to be the Wildcat. That's it. So the Jaguars are going to get an early look at some Wildcat offense from maybe the best Wildcat you could possibly ask for, and that is Mike Vick, an electrifying athlete. So that circus, Thursday night, 7 o'clock game. The first two preseason games and the final preseason game are all 7:30 kickoffs. This one's 7 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. We'll start things here in Jacksonville. For those of you who are on WOKV at 4 o'clock with the tailgate show, pick up the rest of the network at 6 o'clock with the pregame show, then whistle-to-whistle coverage followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. So all the coverage you could possibly want, Jaguars and Eagles, third preseason game. Coach should be in a couple of minutes, I'm told, and one of the things we'll talk about is how the third game this year is different than third games in years past. This will be the Jaguars' third game in 11 days, let alone the third game in the preseason. So instead of giving Maurice Drew and David Garrard and some of the starters into the third quarter like they would normally play, this is going to seem more like a second preseason game than a third, which means that the third preseason game kind of vaults forward to the fourth, whereas Jack, the last few years, has not played many, if any, starters on the final preseason game of the year. This time around, it looks like guys are going to have to go against Washington next Thursday. Makes it a bit more interesting for those of us who will be watching, but changes their approach entirely in 2009. Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers, and of course, you can find all the details at communityfirstfl.org. Go there today. Our phone number this evening, 355-NFL-1, for those of you in the greater Jacksonville calling area. Those of you spread out around our network, 800-355-6351. And the call is entirely free to you. One note today, the Jaguars brought back Big E, Ernest Wilford, who left last year as a free agent, got a $6 million signing bonus to go play wide receiver down in Miami. Didn't work out. Last year caught just three passes. This year committed to playing tight end, and you're talking about an older guy now. Ernest was in his mid-20s when he got here back in 2004. So to find a role in the NFL where receivers get bigger and faster, he has to become a tight end. Committed to doing it. Didn't want to do it when he was here the first time around. Probably worked out for the best for him because he got a signing bonus of $6 million to go play receiver. Anyway, if you saw the touchdown that he scored in that ball game on Monday night in Miami, I mean, that's the kind of play that he does best. A little swing out and use that big body against a safety or a corner, even some linebackers who aren't as big as the 6'5" Wilford is. So he comes back, going to play tight end. Now, my initial reaction was, well, Zach Miller's knee must be worse than we thought it was. We'll ask the coach that, although I think everyone's expectation is that Miller will be down for a couple of weeks, but that this is not season ending. And the coach has said that there are no candidates right now for injured reserve when asked about guys and injuries. So interesting to see exactly where that one plays out. Wilford's a tough guy. Wins one-on-one battles when you ask him to block. Was always a red zone threat. So should be again. Looked like he was about 240 pounds when we saw him in Miami. Big, strong, physical guy. And look, the model changed this year. They were looking for all of those things. Big, smart, physical, tough, but also looking for good people. And they've got that now in Ernest Wilford. He has always been a good person, and he's back in the Jaguars locker room. So that should only help the conversion from last year to this year with what Jack Del Rio and Gene Smith are hoping to achieve. So let's do this. We'll tell you that this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show and the next is brought to you by Best Buy. And remind you to stop by the brand-new Best Buy over in the St. Johnstown Center. We'll go to break. Hopefully the coach will be with us when we return. If not, we'll take your calls, questions, and comments. Talk about the Jaguars roster. Look towards Philadelphia, maybe even Washington. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
This is Brian Witherspoon of the Jaguars. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida wants to remind you that consistent cardiovascular exercise for 20 minutes a day, 3 times per week, will reduce your blood pressure and improve your overall fitness.
Just a reminder, Brian, was that Williams or Witherspoon? Witherspoon, young man from Stillman College who can create some cardiovascular elasticity in special teams coordinators. We'd like to see him do it a little less in the Jaguars special teams coordinator, Russ Purnell, as he did the other night, and a little more in the special teams coordinator on the other side of the field. You know, was talking last night. We had our first Jaguars All Access here locally on CBS 47 last night, and we were in a meeting, a production meeting, talking about some of the elements of the show, and I wanted to show the highlight of Brian Witherspoon picking up that ball at the 3-yard line and stepping out of bounds. See, to me, that was one of the turning points of the game. And I know, look, I mean, it's hard to say there's a turning point in a game that doesn't count. But you understand the Jaguars were up 14-3 when Sammy Stroder caught that ball and went 75 yards to the 20-yard line that set up a 2-play touchdown pass when Luke McCown found his tight end Jeremy Stevens. And then the ensuing kickoff, Witherspoon inexplicably picks the ball up at the 3-yard line. It was about to go out of bounds. It's a 37-yard mistake. If he just lets it go out of bounds, the Jags have it at the 40-yard line. All right, again, outcome doesn't matter. However, Jaguars got pinned deep, had to punt, flip field position. Dolphins started that drive inside the Jacksonville 45-yard line, got another touchdown. Of course, you know, the defense is always allowed to stop them, but you get my point. A couple of special teams mistakes is all it takes to create issues. New special teams coordinator this year, Montel Owens, is not playing right now. He obviously has a little tweak to his knee, and the Jaguars are being careful. He is right on the cusp of being a Pro Bowl special teamer. Remember now, they only take one special teams performer to the Pro Bowl every year. So when I say right on the cusp now, that means right at the top of the AFC. There may be one or two players, and they may play in bigger markets or have been to the Pro Bowl before, and we know how that one works, that keep Montel from getting there. But he is as good as you'll find. So Montel's return should alleviate some of the problems. Then they went out and they signed Adam Seward, who was a linebacker, a special teams linebacker in particular, for Carolina the last couple of seasons, had 29 special teams tackles for them. And I couldn't help but think that this was a lot like the 2003 season. If you remember, 2003 Jaguars opened Jack Del Rio's first campaign as the coach up in Carolina. Jaguars had a 17-3 lead at the half, but their special teams broke down. They gave up more than 220 special teams returns yards in that game. It was you saw it slipping away from them based on special teams, all right? So the very next day, Jaguars start combing the wire. They had lost that game, as you recall. And they come up with Nick Sorensen and Deke Cooper. And Cooper was a pretty good player, special teams player, hung around a little bit. Sorensen was a game changer. I mean, almost overnight, the Jaguars coverage teams got better. That's how much of an impact he made. He was the guy that was so effective at beating the double teams, at finding the seam, that you would see two and sometimes even three defenders pay attention to where Nick was and where he was headed. Montel is that kind of player too, but maybe Seward's that kind of guy. And that's where the Jaguars and Gene Smith and his department are trying to make sure they find a guy who can come in and help. I will ask the coach about Montel's knee. I'm not sure we're going to get a straight answer. Coaches in the National Football League in this day and age keep injuries and injury details very close to the vest. And when Bill Belichick, right, three-time Super Bowl winner does it, then every coach is going to do it. They're not going to give away an advantage. So I'm not sure we'd get an answer that that we could use. Certainly the coach would be using it to his advantage tonight to not give us that information. And I say that understanding that's the way that the coaching world works these days. But I guarantee you that the Jaguars are putting together a list looking for guys who can get it done. Now, I had Gene Smith in here a little more than an hour ago for a pregame interview that you will hear, what time, Joe? Like 20 after 6 in that range? In the 6 to 7 o'clock hour on Thursday night, in our network pregame hour, and asked him if there was a guy, an emerging player in the special teams realm who could come on Thursday night, next Thursday night, you know, the 13th of September in Indianapolis and make a difference. And I have to tell you, I was surprised by his answer. It was Tyron Brackenridge, number 41, a cornerback who's from Washington State, been around with a couple of different teams, played in Kansas City with the New York Jets. Been an impact player now. I mean, been a guy who pops at you in many different situations, both on the practice field and against the Dolphins and Bucks. He's a guy who has made his presence felt on the field. And it appears that he's a guy the Jaguars think can do it as well. So if you're watching the special teams and you're alarmed, and you have no reason not to be at this point in time in terms of coverage now, I think the punt return team has been good. Obviously, the kickoff team leaves something to be desired. The punt team is all right. Ed Scobie has been outstanding. The two punters have kicked the ball well. It's all those coverage teams that you know that have given us reason to say, all right, where is this thing at this point? Owens returned, Seward's addition, Brackenridge's emergence give you a sense that perhaps this thing will go forward. Keep in mind now, the Jaguars let Chad and Kang go this offseason. And Kang was a guy who was late to meetings. He wasn't the best guy. I'm not saying he's one of the worst. He's a guy that you never heard too much about. And you probably have forgotten that he was even here. It was such a cup of coffee for him in the NFL. But was a special teams standout. They let him go. Now, in order to let a player like that go, you've got to have some guys that you've identified who can replace him. And clearly, Brackenridge is a guy that they had on the roster that they like, that they think he can do it. Obviously, you know what Montel Owens can do. And then now you're looking, who's the next sunshine out there? That's a question that that we will be watching over the next few weeks. Still waiting on head coach Jack Del Rio. Again, short week. Jaguars leave tomorrow for Philadelphia, which means that the coach's week is condensed and meetings have to get moved around. We will get him in here just as soon as we possibly can. Folks, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jaguars gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants. And there's a whole lot more there. So go do what I do. Visit jaguars.com/rewards and find out where you can save money. The info is all right there, jaguars.com/rewards. And we will return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner is chosen for each home game. That person and a guest will receive tickets, a parking pass, and they could win $50,000. So log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Linda Shearer's team at Prudential is extremely full service. Brian Sexton with you here on the Jack Del Rio Show. You can join me, 800-355-6351 or 355-NFL1. Depends on where you're at. The call is entirely free either way to you. Hope the head coach joins us in a couple of minutes. Jaguars and Eagles coming your way Thursday night. Pre-game starts for you in Jacksonville at 4. And the whole network gets going about 6 o'clock. Kickoff is at 7. Talk a little bit about the offensive line. Jeff Lagerman last night on our Jaguars All-Access television show on CBS 47. Talked a little bit about Eugene Monroe. And Evan Britton, really loved to see the effort from both guys. Britton in particular, he talked about. There were a couple of plays where Monroe wasn't as sharp. Remember now, what's he been in camp? A little more than 10 days. But Britton's a guy who really has come on strong. here in the last couple of days of training camp. Big, strong, physical, athletic. The battle over there at right tackle has been fun to watch. Left tackle, we watched Trey Thomas through the training camp period, and then now that Eugene Monroe is there, we're getting a good look at a young player of renown. And the coach has just joined us here. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Doing great, Brian.
Short week for you.
Short week, yeah.
Yeah, you're really having to condense things.
Yeah, today was a Thursday, Friday.
You ever get used to that? I mean, you've tried to schedule Thursday games the last couple of weeks of the preseason to give you more time at the tail end of the preseason to get ready for the first regular season game. Have you got this built into a system now that it doesn't really affect you? I mean, other than sleep, which is important, but...
Well, now, a little unusual that we're coming off a game, you know, just a few days ago, 4 days ago, five days ago. So, but we're adjusting, moving on. You know, 3 games, 11 days, and it's unusual, but we're rolling with it.
We were talking just before you walked in about Evan Britton coming on, young right tackle. Eugene Monroe, I mean, these are the two big guys, top of your draft. Give us a sense of where they are heading into the second half of the preseason.
Well, as you would hope, they're improving, you know, rapidly. Both, big talented guys that are going to be good players in this league, and it's just a matter of when. There are a couple of proud veterans that are in there holding them off right now. So it's a good battle, and we're going to get plenty of exposure. We're going to rotate the guys through and get a real good evaluation. I hear that Andy Reid is going to play his regulars in through almost three quarters. So that will give us a great opportunity to evaluate our guys against their best.
You talked a little bit in the postgame show the other night that this isn't going to be a normal third preseason game for you in the sense that your guys would necessarily go that long because you've got the third game in 11 days.
Well, we're going to share the workload, right? So we may not go as much here, but we'll probably go a little bit longer in our last preseason game here at home against the Redskins.
Back real quick to the battles at offensive tackle. That really is symbolic of the competition you've brought to almost every position. I mean, when you look at the veteran against the rookie, the veteran against the rookie, that's exactly what you guys set out to do, isn't it? Bring in talented young guys to make the roster more competitive.
Well, as a coach, I certainly appreciate it. I know Gene has set out to do that in terms of the way we've approached camp and setting up the competition battles. And I think you have a great opportunity when you have an older guy that has some experience that's fending off a young guy who has a lot of talent, a lot of potential, and you make the young guy earn it. So I think there's a good dynamic at play right now where guys are fighting for roster spots and fighting for roles on the team, and I think it's healthy for us.
We talked about Trey Thomas quite a bit, the two rookies. How about Tony's camp? How's Pasha's been this year?
Tony's done a good job. He's had a good camp. He's had to have a good camp. I think he's stepped up and done some things well. Is it perfect? No. But I think, he's an improving football player, and like I said, he's determined to make sure that he holds off Eben and any other competition that may come his way.
When you've got four tackles like that, how does it change the competition
level?
They're
five, really.
With Jordan Black?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you've got five tackles like that, that really changes the dynamic for roster spots inside. Because you're not going to keep 10 offensive linemen, 9 maybe. Mostly you've kept 8 around here.
We have. I think every year is different. I think that there's a possibility that you could have a larger number there if you have people that are worth it.
Okay.
If the spot's worthy, if there's more talent there, in particular when you really have to look at your active 45 and then, recognize that the guys that are inactive, you want to keep the best players that you can.
Right.
And you don't want to keep a position just because it's a number that you'd like to have ideally. So that's where there's some flexibility in the numbers. I think when you talk about the 45 that we need to take in to win the opener, that's where you start, and then you kind of work backwards from there.
Well, for example, and I'm not sure how many folks have followed it, but during camp, you've given Mo Williams snaps at center. You've given Uche Nwaneri snaps at center. That's increasing the competition for Dennis Norman.
Exactly.
Everybody has to be able to do a lot of different things because – well, you got four or five tackles now because most teams really only have three tackles.
That's right. That's right. And there have been years in the past where Dennis Norman's been asked to go out and play tackle.
And so, has. Yeah, and I remember 2006
that's
when
right.
he took Mario
so,
Williams.
The way we look at it is, a lot of times people don't really understand that. You get 45 guys. That's what you suit up on Sundays. So, you've really got to build in some flexibility. You've got to build in some positional, ability to swap positions and be multitask oriented and be able to, go from center to guard, from guard to tackle, from, wide up, being able to play the X to Z, the slot, whatever it is, you've got to have that ability to move your guys around and survive and flourish in that environment. Same thing with linebackers, same thing with D linemen. They have to learn multiple positions.
And just to bring it down to the simplest level, you may have 9 offensive linemen on the roster, but on Sunday you're only going to have 7, which is why you
usually
bring that point out. Yeah, usually.
Yeah, 7 or 8 in rare instances.
Right.
But for me, it's been 7 over the last few years.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Once you go, you get it. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Jack Del Rio Show rolls until straight up 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And we invite you to join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And we'll go to John over on the west side, first call of the evening. Hello, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, John, how are you tonight?
Good. We all know that it's Michael Vick's first game back, so I was curious, are you doing anything special prepared for playing against him, or are you just going to do the normal stuff?
No, we're not going to game plan for Michael Vick. First of all, we're in our third preseason game. Michael Vick is there's no telling how much he's going to play, when he's going to play.
Andy Reid said today he wasn't going to play quarterback, so who knows what he's going to play, but he's not going to play quarterback.
Okay, well,
so who knows what his role is?
Whatever that means, but the bottom line is there's no way that we can. There's a way, but there's no reason for us to sit and game plan and try and stop Michael Vick in a preseason game that we really want to evaluate our roster. We want to play our system, play what we have in, understand when he's out there that he's proven to be an excellent runner, a guy that has a strong arm, and just defend him like anybody else. Just understand he's got a few things that he does different.
Appreciate the call, John. 355-NFL-1, another John over on the Keystone Heights side of town. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Coach, and you were talking about the offensive linemen, and I mean, what I'm thinking is there a possibility even Pashos moving in, Trey Thomas moving in, or even the rookies playing the guard position and kind of learning that?
Well, good question, John. That's something that's obviously been considered. I think at this point we feel good about the competition that we're seeing at left tackle, at right tackle, and at right guard, where Vinny, now that he's back at left guard, he's moved over Mo Williams and Uche Nwaneri are going at it for the right guard spot. So those guys are going to need to know multiple positions. I think in a pinch we would slide a guy in if that were necessary. And we have taken reps with different guys at different positions. But for right now, in terms of developing our starting five, we're really wanting to focus and have the guys settle in on their one position with an eye on where they need to go in a pinch.
Hey, Vinny got the start the other night. How'd he do?
Vinny did well.
Yeah. Still steady on track.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get better and better and better, getting more comfortable, trusting. Really, when you come off an ACL, it's really about developing that trust and that confidence that you can plant your leg and that it's going to hold up.
Did you ever have that injury?
No.
There's so many players in the NFL
Thank God.
Who have. Yeah.
No.
You're one of the few ones. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Todd joins us from Mandarin. Hello, Todd. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Todd.
Good. Hey, I wanted to talk about Ernest Wolford. First, I'm glad to see him back on the team. Hopefully, he can get a spot and produce at tight end. But mostly, I was wondering, he seemed like an all-around good guy. Does this pretty much confirm that he is that kind of guy, since it's the direction we're heading?
I would say yes, this confirms that he's the right kind of guy. I think Ernest Wolford has proven in the time he was with us to be a very unselfish player, willing to block downfield, do some of the dirty work that is necessary for you to break off long runs. We're really asking him. He's not going to be a wide receiver for us. He's going to be a tight end. Now, be more of a move tight end, much like we were using Zach Miller. And so Ernest will have an opportunity to compete, to help us on special teams, to help us fill a role, to be unselfish, to find a way to block, to scramble, to do things, and be involved in the passing game from a tight end position as opposed to being a wideout. So we think he's got an opportunity to transition into that position for us. We're going to give him a chance, and you know, there are no guarantees. I mean, Ernest's a good young man, but there are no guarantees. He's got to earn a roster spot. We're going to give him every opportunity.
Is this grabbing the best player available for you, or does this give us a sense that maybe Miller's going to be a little while in his recovery?
Well, I think both things would apply. I think Ernest's a player that we thought could add to the team and have an opportunity to compete for a spot.
Right.
And, you know, Zach's not going to be back tomorrow, so
sure.
We'll have Ernest tomorrow.
355, that helps. Going to Philadelphia. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls for the head coach right after this on the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. And you can join us on the program here over the next 19 minutes or so. 355-NFL-1. Let's start at the beach where Jennifer is standing by. Hey, Jen, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm great.
You're on with the head coach.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Coach. I just had a question about Josh Vaughn. I got a few glimpses of him Saturday night, and to me he looked really good, and I just wondered how, if he would end up, you think, with a position on the team.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Thanks for paying close attention, knowing who a Josh Vaughn is. He's
a big back.
Yeah, he's a young man that we picked up off waivers. Actually, not off the waiver wire, but he was on the street and able to bring him into camp and give him an opportunity. He had been with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He was excited to get in there and play against his old teammates. And Josh is doing a good job in camp. I don't know where it's going to lead. He's certainly in the mix. Everybody that's here, Gene Smith has done a good job of this. Everybody that's here has a chance to make either our team or our practice squad. And so he's in the mix for a spot at one of those, or he wouldn't be here any longer.
He hit the ground running the first practice he was there. I mean, from the very first practice you've had him.
He's a big, strong guy. He's actually going to take a little time this week at fullback. He's a guy that is big enough to play fullback. He's primarily been a halfback. But we're going to cross-train him a little bit there, and he'll get some time in this game. And, you know, the one thing I know he's going to need to do is get his pad square and go downhill. He's bounced and tried to outrun some people a few times, and that's got him into trouble.
It's not going to happen at this level.
So it's a young mistake. But Kennedy Pohl is one of the great running back coaches in the league, and he'll do a good job developing this young man.
355-NFL-1. You know, we haven't talked a lot about Greg Jones. He didn't finish the season on the active roster last year, but he's looked pretty healthy all summer long and looked pretty good. Where do you see him in his return from an injury last year?
Yeah, he's ready to roll. He's a big, strong, physical guy that really gives us an opportunity to match up against some of the big linebackers that we face around the league, and in particular some of the 3-4 teams where you need a big, bruising guy that can handle that. And I think Greg gives us that as an option.
Appreciate your phone call, Jen. 355-NFL-1. Let's stay with the ladies. We'll grab Anna, or Anna, however you pronounce it, in Mandarin. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Hi, Brian. Hi, Coach. I have a question for you guys about ticket sales. I know they're pretty slow so far this year, and I was wondering if the slow ticket sales are affecting team morale at all.
I wouldn't say so. I think that the guys are working hard. I think certainly we appreciate the fans that have been out and been very supportive. You know, we went through training camp with camp open for the public to come out and participate, and the fans are terrific. I mean, those that are showing up are loud and proud and very supportive of the team and the coaches and the players. And so we all really appreciate that. And I know when we had our scrimmage, it was outstanding. And so we're just hoping that, as we play well throughout the early part of this year, that we can build some momentum and that more and more people get excited about coming out to watch.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Ray, who is up next. Ray joins us from the south side of town. Hello, Ray. You're on with the head coach.
Hi, Coach. Coach, let me start out by saying I'm a loyal, dedicated fan. I have 3 club seats, but I get so irritated when Pache and the other line might jump off or line up wrong. Is that a coaching deficiency, or is it just dumb players? And I'll take it off the air so I can hear the answer.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate
aggravated.
That one. Yeah, I think I would say you're definitely bothered by that. You could be a coach, Ray. I think us coaches don't like to see mistakes, silly mistakes. But I would say this, as a coach, you want to always take the heat. You want your players to be coached properly and to respond the way they should. And And so I would say we just got to do a better job coaching. Our guys are working hard right now. We got to be cleaner. We've got to do it better. We got to do it crisper. So, you know, right now I'll just take the bullet, Ray. You can go ahead and knock it off on me, and we'll move on. But no, we're going to clean it up. We have to. We've got to be more efficient. We cannot shoot ourselves in the foot, and we believe that that has been a little bit of an issue the first couple weeks.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for the call. We'll take a break. Maybe come back and mention another player who's just joined the roster, Adam Seward, former Carolina Panther, who comes in as a linebacker. Probably some special teams help there as well. 355-NFL1, you're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We go right back to the phone lines, which are quite busy here in the second half hour. 355-NFL1. We go down to Gainesville. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Brian. How you guys doing?
Great.
Coach, I have a question for you. Sometimes, you know, in the offseason, we hear the NFL toying around with going to an 18-game season and a 2-game preseason. Do you feel that 2 games in the preseason would be enough? And if that would be enough, what else would you have to do with preseason camp to make it as effective and shoring up the troops as it is now with the 4, 5, 6 weeks of camp?
I think that's a great question. I happen to be a fan of our system as it is right now. I think 4 games is a good amount. It's a proper amount to get your team prepared. I think with all the decisions that we have and the development of personnel, I think it's great to be able to have that. If we didn't have it, then you'd see more inter-squad scrimmages or bringing in, you know, the Dolphins or the Falcons, or you'd find a way to get other work against other teams. You'd have to. So I'm not sure why we would tinker with what has been a very successful schedule, but I know there is a lot of consideration being given to that very subject.
Money, right? I mean, you had 2 more games of the regular season schedule. It inflates the value to the networks?
Potentially.
Yeah, that would be the only reason. 355-NFL1. Appreciate the phone call from Gainesville. Jeff, let's grab Dale, who is in Arlington, right across the river from us here at the stadium. Hello, Dale. How are you tonight?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Good.
Coach, thanks for taking my call. Got a quick question for you. I played a little bit of ball and coached an awful lot of Little League athletics here in town, and I really like the defensive side of the ball. What's your thoughts on Russell Allen and how he's going through training camp? And I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate the call, and I appreciate the fact that you're a coach that works with the young people in the area. I would say this about Russell Allen. He approaches it the way you'd like to see a young man approach it. Comes in. He's been no nonsense. He's a quick study. He's picked up. We're really working him at 3 different positions, all 3 linebacker spots. He's come in and he has not batted an eye. This has not been too big for him. I think he's come in and competed very hard. He's shown well thus far. Now he's still got a ways to go. He's still got some work to do to secure a spot on this football team. But he's well on his way. He's doing a nice job with what he's doing, special teams wise, and with the defense. So. You picked out a good one.
Dale, appreciate the phone call. Due to take our final break. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio.
This is Thomas Williams of the Jaguars. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida wants to remind you that for muscle pulls and strains, always apply ice for the first 3 to 4 days after the injury.
And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton and head coach Jack Del Rio. We've got a little time left for a couple of phone calls, so let's do it. We've got Mark, who is in Arlington with a thought on the wide receivers. Mark, welcome to the show. Okay, Mark, we're gonna put you back on hold for a sec so that you can turn down the sound on your radio because there's a feedback, a delay system, and you're behind us. So we'll come right back to you. Please turn down your radio. Instead, we'll go to Wes, who is over in Orange Park. Hello, Wes. How are you tonight?
Hey, Coach Brian, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, Coach. Hope the Jags do good this week. Just an observation about the special teams, Coach. Because I knew that we were going to have a lot of young, athletic, hungry kind of guys this year on the team. I thought for sure our special teams would do really good, and I was just kind of wondering what you've seen there, and you know what we're trying to do to fix that situation. And then on the other side, nobody's really stepped up to be a good return man yet for us that I've seen. So. just kind of want to know, you know, who we might be trying this week and, you know, what we can do to get that going. One person I thought might do a good job on return of kicks, not that I'm an expert, but Chauncey Washington, he runs so hard, and he seems like he had a little bit of speed. I thought he might do kicks. I knew not punts. But anyway, just want to see what we're doing about the special teams coach, and thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And, yes, Chauncey Washington would be a kickoff return option for us, as will Rashad Jennings when he gets back and is in action. So they're both going to be in the mix as kickoff returners. And Nate Hughes is going to get some punt returns this week. As far as special teams go, last week there are two plays that marred a pretty solid performance by our special teams. But when you have two ugly plays, it ends up looking ugly.
Well, so Jared Alexander almost had the return man to the ground.
Yeah, we had a missed tackle. And we didn't fit it well, and there were a couple guys that were so overzealous that they left their lane and left it a little bit open, and Gerald had to make it as a safety, and he missed a tackle. So that was one, and then you can't have Witherspoon cannot field it on a three. So it was just an error in judgment, and you learn from it, and hopefully we learn from it, because we can't see that in a regular season. So, you know, you like to get that kind of experience out of the way and learn the lesson and move on.
And, well, you said the other day to me, Montel Owens changed a lot of that.
Well, that sounds like excuse making. Montel, some of our better players are going to be, you know, when we get for real, they're going to be in the forefront, and that will help.
Appreciate the phone call. And now we go back to Mark in Arlington. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Coach?
Hey, Mark. Doing well.
And the first thing I wanted to do is my son's heard you on the radio, so I got to tell him. They wanted me to tell you, hey, go Jaguars. My son, Mark, and Savion. So they want me to tell you that.
All right.
My question for you is, what do you think of the receiving core this year relative to last year? How improved are they? And I'll go off the air and you can answer it.
Okay. Well, we're getting ready to find out. I think the one thing that we've seen, you know, throughout camp and through the first couple preseason games is there are two youngsters, Troy Williamson and Nate Hughes, that have added speed and quickness to the group. And I think, you know, some of our young guys, Dillard and Underwood in particular, because Mike Thomas has been hurt, those guys have shown the ability to run as well. So we're a little bit quicker in our wide receiver core.
Williamson was on our television show last night, and I asked him, what is it? I mean, what have you done differently? And all he said was, just worked harder, a little smarter. And he gave a lot of credit to what you've done with Luke Richardson and the strength and conditioning program. It's got him into a position where he's able to stay healthy. But he said, I just keep applying myself. Just listen and do it.
Well, just keep on doing the right things. I think if you look at anybody that's been successful, and really anything, right, it's about putting in the time, making the commitment, getting your body in shape so that you can withstand the rigors of training camp, stay on the football field, and then you have a chance to let your God-given ability take over.
Circus time on Thursday night. The atmosphere is going to be different than any normal preseason game.
I think more so for you guys. I think for us, we're going to go down and have some fun playing football against a good football team.
All right. Well, the Eagles come your way, folks, Thursday night, 6 o'clock for the network pregame show. For those of you listening here in Jacksonville, we will pick you all up at 4 o'clock for the tailgate show. And then, of course, whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and Eagles. Preseason game number 3. Best of luck on Thursday night. Stay healthy.
Thank you, Brian.
See you next week.
Appreciate it.
That's the head coach, Jack Del Rio. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.